Today's gospel, we have the conclusion of the sixth chapter of John that we've been reading for the last several weeks. This is the grand finale, the final segment of this chapter of John, of the teaching on Christ, the bread of life discourse. Here we have Jesus making it very clear last week, making it very clear that he is talking about his body, his flesh and blood. And then in today's gospel, we have the Jews who understood it as such, saying, "This saying is hard. Who can accept it?" And turning and walking away. There's this idea that it comes to a fountainhead. There's a point of decision for the listeners of Jesus. Either you understand and accept and follow Jesus, or you reject it and you turn away. It's a very, very clear black and white sort of decision that we're presented with today in the gospel. And it's made even more clear for us from the church when she gives us the first reading today, going back to the book of Joshua. So Joshua is the one who took over after Moses, right? After Moses led the people out of Egypt. And then when Moses died, Joshua took over as the leader of Israel. He crossed the Jordan River with them and surrounded the city of Jericho, and the walls came crumbling down. You remember all that? So that's the story of Joshua. They conquered the city of Jericho. And then it becomes a matter of, at the very end of the book of Joshua, shortly before he dies, he comes to the people of Israel and he says, "Listen, we have a choice we have to make." He said, "If it does not please you to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve. The gods your father served beyond the river," in other words, the gods of the Egyptians, "or the gods of the Amorites who are in this country you are now dwelling. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua is calling for this choice, this black and white, this fountainhead sort of left or right fork in the road. Are you going to worship the gods that your fathers worshiped before, or the gods of the Amorites where they sacrificed their children to them? Or are you going to serve the God of Israel? Make your decision, because you can't serve both. Choose today. It's a very stark sort of reading, and I love it because it kind of slaps the ear a little bit. Wake up, make your choice. And that's the kind of framework we have for going into the gospel today. Make your choice. Are we serve the Lord or not? And when we hear the Jews saying, "This saying is hard, who can accept it?" And they turn and they walk away. And Jesus is left with the 12 and maybe a handful of others. And he says, "Will you two leave me?" And Peter, speaking on behalf of the rest, said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go?" What a question. To whom shall we go? There is no other source of life. There is no other source of truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Peter recognizes that, and he holds fast, representing the faith of the apostles. Brothers and sisters, each of us have a choice to make every day. Will you serve the Lord or not? Will you grow in grace and holiness or not? That's the choice that's placed before us today in the gift of this liturgy through the readings that we hear today. Will you exercise your will and not just a simple, "Yeah, maybe so, I guess"? There's a black and white. Will you choose to serve the Lord, to grow in the life of holiness, to grow in grace or not? If you walk out of these doors here in the next 20 minutes or half hour, whatever it is, and you haven't chosen, use an act of your will to say, "Yes, I will serve the Lord. I will grow in holiness. I will continue on the mission towards sanctity." If you don't make that act, then something has fallen short here. There's something missing. That's where we need to go today. And it's a process of conversion. It's the first step of conversion, of interior conversion of me. Of my conversion. That's the first step of the process of the new evangelization that Pope Francis would talk about all the time. Let me just read a little quote here from The Joy of the Gospel, his first encyclical. of a gospel of evangelization, right? Pope Francis says, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment, at the moment they read this moment, to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at the very least, an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. No one should think that this invitation is not meant for them, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a drug addict living under a bridge or if you're Mother Teresa of Calcutta, the choice is the same. Will you serve the Lord? Will you choose to grow in holiness today? And the greatest way, the greatest gift that we've been given in order to do this is the sacraments, right? First and foremost in the Eucharist. And second only to the Eucharist is the sacrament of confession, where we come, we're forced to have humility to stand before the Lord and say, these are the ways where I haven't, where I've chosen not to serve you, where I've come to that fork in the road and gone this way instead of this way. But the sacrament of confession brings us back to that point and allows us to recommit once again, to say, yes, Lord, I've fallen before, but I will serve you to the best of my ability now. Now, not all confessions are created equal, so to speak, and not just because of the content of the confession. There is such a thing as a bad confession. One of my favorite saints, St. John Bosco, God would speak to him in dreams all the time. And kind of like St. Joseph, you know, he'd speak to him in dreams, and that's a lot of how he got his guidance for how to guide and shepherd the house for boys that he ran. But in one of these dreams, He was dreaming that he was hearing confessions, and the line was so long that he left the confessional to go try and find another priest. But as he was walking around the church, he saw jutting out behind each of the boys a pair of horns. And when he went and looked, there was a demon behind each one of his boys. And each of these demons was holding a rope. Some of them had three ropes, some of them had one rope that were around the neck of these boys. And so he went up to one of these demons who were actually in the shape, in the form of a cat, which go figure, like I've never trusted cats. It's not that I don't like them, I just don't trust them, okay? But these horned cats were the form of these demons. And he asked them, what are these ropes around the boys' necks? What is this? What does this represent? And the demon, you know, hissing and you know, growling and everything said, with these ropes, I drag humanity into making bad confessions. And through these bad confessions, I drag them to hell. And he said, well, what are these ropes? What are they? What is a bad confession consist of? And the first one, he said, with the first rope, I make them conceal their sins in confession. To not confess, to hold something back, or to not confess the whole truth of the matter, or to conceal the number of sins, saying, okay, well, maybe it was three or four when I know exactly for sure that it was five. You know, whatever that is, that's the first rope. The second rope is I make them confess without true sorrow. I allow them to confess without feeling any compunction for their sins. That they go through the motions, they confess all their sins, but they feel no sorrow. And St. John Bosco said, well, what about that third rope? What's that? And the demon didn't want to tell him. He crouched down and growled and got really angry, and blood was squirting from his eyes, and it was kind of a scene. And finally he got some holy water, and he said, I'm going to spray you with this holy water if you don't tell me. And finally the demon said, with this third rope, I keep them from making a firm resolution. I keep them from making a firm resolution to where they confess their sins, but they do not make an act of the will to avoid them in the future, to avoid the temptation. And with this rope, I drag them to hell. And St. John Bosco, when he would preach to his boys about this, he said, there are three things to take away from this regarding confession. Number one is sincerity. Don't hold anything back. Number two is sorrow, to confess with sorrow, to dwell on the nature of sin. That's why we have, that's why I, so many of the saints would dwell on the crucifix. And for me, it's the sorrowful mysteries of recognizing the consequences of my sin. And then finally, the resolution to make that act of the will that I will do better. I will avoid this sin. Those three things, sincerity, sorrow, and resolution, that's what makes for a good confession and for conversion of heart. And so I bring this up because it's an opportune time that this Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we're going to have our end of the summer penance service. There'll be a half a dozen priests here, so it won't just be myself and Father Yurok. But it's a great opportunity to go to confession if it's been a while, or if perhaps you've held something back, something for years, maybe decades, that you've been too ashamed to bring to confession. Take the opportunity. Get rid of it. Stop holding on to it. It's not worth dragging your soul down. That pain, that constant sorrow, that area of sensitivity that comes from carrying sin, the burden of sin, get rid of it. We don't have to carry that. That's why Christ died on the cross, is that we have life to the full. Brothers and sisters, this is the opportunity, this is the fork in the road we're presented with today. Let's not be the ones who say, this is too tough for me. It's too hard, I can't accept it. Let's stand with Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.